Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, mobile ordering just got better, magic keys are back on sale, unique experiences at Disneyland After Dark,
grad night dates are announced, Star Wars announcements, we finish our conversation with Teresa and Vern about their cruise, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome aboard the DL Weekly podcast. Please, lower your head and watch your step while boarding. If this is your first time listening, we hope you'll check out our website at dlweekly.net. If you have more time to spend, becoming an official weekly tier at dlweekly.net/support is an especially good value. Thanks for traveling with us today, and we hope you have a happy and memorable listen to this week's episode.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of April 12th, 2023. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Teg Bushman. You know, I always comment on the date, but how is it already like mid-April? I just don't understand. We would like to thank all of the current weekly tiers, including Bethany W., Jill M., Lindsay P., and Marie W. for supporting the show. Without your support, DL Weekly would not be possible. Your support ensures that the podcast will continue so that we can make it into the parks more often, like we are later this month, to bring you the latest news and information directly from the parks. If you would like to become an official weekly tier, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Well, our next trip to the park is just weeks away, and we will be hosting a weekly tier meetup. Please join myself, Teg, James, Vern, and all sorts of other weekly tiers on Sunday, April 30th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at one of our favorite places, Earl of Sandwich. Now, this event is open to all weekly tiers, whether you're a Patreon supporter, whether you're a listener that's been listening to us since the beginning, or maybe you just found us and you'd like to come meet us and learn more. Everyone is welcome for this event.
Yeah, and it's always a really great time. It's always fun seeing everybody, yes, meeting everybody. So if you can make it down during that time, that would be great. And this is one of the somewhat rare occasions where it's the entire DL Weekly crew together at the location. So
the last time, aside from the wedding, that the whole crew was there together was July 2021, so
it's been a while, almost 2 years. Now let's get to the news.
A wonderful update has come to the Disneyland mobile app that is set to make mobile ordering so much better. There is now an Available Now filter that shows locations that have a pickup window of right now. No more scrolling through all the options to find the locations to pick up a bite to eat when you're hungry. In addition, there is also a nearby filter that will allow guests to see options that are close to their current location to place an order.
This makes me so happy.
Yes, because it used to be that they were, I think it was alphabetical order. And then I think there was a time where it would filter and know your location. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you can filter and say, like,
right now,
what's available now or soon, I think is great.
Yeah,
I think it's a really good
because
feature.
I used to think that was something that I wanted, because I'd be like, okay, well, I'm hungry right now. Mm-hmm. Where can I get food? And I'd have to scroll through everything. And they had like the windows showing. They wouldn't say if something was like, you know, it would say like now to whatever the time it was. But now, like right now, as we're recording this at about almost 6 p.m. Disneyland time on Tuesday. And I can look, and there's 9 locations in Disneyland that I can order right now. And there's 26 locations at DCA that I can order right now, and one in Downtown Disney. So this is really great. I also saw, by the way, that Ronto Roasters and Docky Bay 7 have arrived windows right now.
Two of our favorites.
But love it, love it, love it. There's also a tab at the top that says schedule for later, which will show you kind of everything. Yep. But
schedule for later tab reminds me of what mobile ordering had looked like before.
Yes. And then you can filter by theme parks and hotels and stuff too. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is a long overdue update, and I'm happy to see that they're making these little tweaks throughout the app.
Yep.
And it's big update. Well, weekly tiers who have been waiting to pick up a magic key, well, you're in luck. Actually, right before we started recording, we checked on this, and the only key available was the...
Yeah, so the website was saying that the Inspire and the Imagine keys were both available. However, when we jumped in the virtual queue to go as if we were purchasing a new key. It was only the Imagine key that was showing as available. Both the Believe and Enchant keys supposedly are available for renewals only.
Yeah, so if you want an Imagine key, you can get in there and get that, at least as of the time of this recording. Who knows what will happen by the time the episode gets posted and stuff. So, but it did sound like they were going to allow purchases of these things, and they were going to try to have these windows open more. I know Walt Disney World just reopened their annual pass sales as well. So it seems like there's some changes, which is always a good thing.
Well, Disneyland After Dark Throwback Night still has tickets available for April 18th and 20th. Weekly tiers may want to grab a ticket to this event with all the details that have been released. There are a ton of character meet and greets, including some rarely or never before seen characters that are going to be there meeting and greeting. These include Mother and Father from the Carousel of Progress, the Tomorrowland Space Couple, Mr. Morrow from Flight to the Moon, and more. This doesn't even touch on all the different food and entertainment offerings like Fantasy in the Sky fireworks. I don't know why that is like the cherry on top, that Fantasy in this, that they're bringing back a version of Fantasy in the Sky for this. I want to send a shout out and thank you to the Disneyland nurse, Scott, for posting all of this information and posting the event guide on Instagram. I have been excited about this one, and seeing the event guide like makes me even more excited. I'm so happy for all weekly tiers that are able to go and experience this throwback night.
I have to laugh because I feel like the majority of online commenters are less excited after seeing this.
That's true.
But you and I think are the opposite.
Yeah, because that is true.
I looked at these photo ops that you can have, and oh my goodness. Mother and Father
photos
from the Carousel of Progress, the Space Couple, Mr. Morrow. I just think, where else are you going to ever be able to see these characters?
Oh, not to mention Hyacinth Hippo from Fantasia.
And Mademoiselle Uponova.
Yes.
Because that's the two dancing hippos, right, in Fantasia?
For sure the Hyacinth is. Mademoiselle Uponova,
That's the person that they're dancing with.
Yes. Is the ostrich. Mademoiselle Uponova is the dancing ostrich.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen Fantasia, but that's so cool. And of course, Mickey and Minnie Mouse, which I think will be probably in some type of retro gear would be my guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, great character meet and greets. They've got food options. Of course, there's swing dancing throughout the evening, which is nice. Somebody was complaining about the swing dancing, and I was like, get over it. It's swing dancing. That was something that was a staple of Disneyland for quite a while. Mm-hmm. But lots of good food, a jelly-filled donut.
Ooh, they have really good. Monte Cristo fritters.
Ooh, that sounds good.
They're yum.
So there's lots of great options. If you're going, apple spice milk at Harbor Galley, that also sounds good.
Impossible Sloppy Joe fries.
We just ate dinner,
bacon,
but I'm looking
caramel
at this and I'm
sundae.
Again. I like it.
Orange vanilla cream soda. If anybody tries that, you need to let us know what you thought, because that sounds
tickets are still
delightful.
Available.
It's right before we go for our trip, though.
Yeah.
So it's
no, I'm saying
tough.
For listeners.
Oh, yes, for listeners. Yep. Yes, for listeners.
Well, the schedule has been released for the class of 2023 grad nights at Disneyland. The dates for this year that are happening at Disney California Adventure are May 12th, 14th, 17th, 19th, 21st, 24th, 25th, 30th, and 31st, and June 2nd, 4th, 7th, 9th, 14th, and 16th. We'll have all these linked in our show notes. Tickets range from $99 to $219, depending on what type of ticket you want it.
Grad night, I feel, always kind of gets a bad rap, and people are kind of like, ooh, don't visit the parks during grad nights. It is definitely busier because you do have an influx of grads there celebrating the end of their high school careers. Vern and I went a few years back, and it just happened to fall on grad nights, and we just happened to pick the wrong starting park each day. But I didn't think it was that bad. Yes, it was crowded. Yes, there was a little bit more rambunctious teenagers running amok than normal. But
amok.
I thought it was fun. And I think it's such a cool experience for grad, something that's very unique, of course, to the area. I didn't even know grad night was a thing when I was in high school in the Midwest here. So I think this is such a fun, cool opportunity to kind of have one last, like, party with your classmates.
Oh, and at Disneyland?
At
Hello.
Disneyland, yes.
I do want to, I think we've talked about this in the past, but I just want to quickly go over it again real quick. So there's three ticket options. So there's the private party experience, which is just the party, which starts at 9 p.m. And that's the $99 per person for weekday and $104 per person for weekends. The second ticket is the full day DCA park ticket plus admission to the private party. And that's $129 a person for weekday and $134 for weekends. And the final one is a full day park hopper ticket plus admission to the party. And that's $199 a person for weekdays and $219 for the weekend dates. And we have that linked in the show notes as well.
Star Wars fans of all ages, get ready for some exciting updates coming to Star Tours next year. New characters and destinations are being added to Star Tours at Disneyland, Walt Disney World, and Disneyland Paris. No details on the locations or characters just yet, but it will be great to have an update to the attraction that started it all for Star Wars in the parks.
So I'm really glad that they're adding some more characters and destinations. I feel like they talked about this when they, way back in like, what, 2011, 2012, when they basically redid it and made it so that they could do different endings and different mm-hmm. destinations. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this is nice that they're finally starting to kind of add more stuff. I wish they would do it like more frequently even, because like it's always a big bump in attendance for it when there's like the new scenes.
Well, they
and
did
everything.
Just add things for Batu when they were before Galaxy's Edge opened. They added
that was
Batu
4 years ago now.
No, I know. So it's been a while, but not, at least hasn't been as bad as you were
no.
like 2011. They've added little things here or there. The
no,
other...
I'm saying that's when they first
oh,
started.
Oh, yes, yes,
all.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. The other thing, too, that was teased by Imagineer Scott Trowbridge, he teased that there might be new characters coming to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge as well. And this was, of course, at... What is it called?
Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, this was, of
London.
Course... Yeah, Star Wars Celebration just happened this past weekend in London. So that's why there's an influx of Star Wars news, not just because May the 4th is approaching.
That's true.
But it sounded like what he was kind of hinting at might be their meet, like what they're doing in Avengers Campus with the synergy where there's a new show. So then the character comes
oh, yeah.
out right as the show drops. I almost feel like he might be hinting that might start happening in Galaxy's
Edge.
So
are you thinking that they're finally like, okay, we can drop the strict storytelling limitations?
Yes, I think so. Well, and they also, one of the other things that was announced over the weekend is that one of, I want to say it's, don't quote me, but I think it's one of the animated shows, those characters will be visiting
oh.
Batu.
That would be really cool.
So they'll actually tie Batu
into that
storyline.
Oh, yeah, from like the, it was like the young Jedi
yes.
thing. Yep.
Yes.
Yep, so that's going to be really cool.
Very
they did
exciting.
Announce a lot of cool Star Wars stuff this week. I do want to say, because we've talked about D23 on this podcast and our experience going mm-hmm. to D23. So one of the guys that I watch that streams Star Wars video games on YouTube went to Star Wars Celebration, and he said it was terrible.
Really?
And he said that he had such a bad experience because it was the worst run Star Wars event he's ever
oh.
been to. And a lot of the stuff he was talking about, I was like, that sounds like D23.
Mm.
They were told different things by different people.
Yeah.
They wanted to get in. There was a panel that happened earlier in the day. And they said that if you were in this panel or the next panel, that you'd get a ticket to come back to watch a episode of The Mandalorian that hasn't aired yet. Like
sure.
it was going to
yeah.
be like an early sneak peek thing. And they were told at the panel that happened right before it, oh, don't worry about it. Just stay here and you can just watch it or whatever. It's not a big deal. But then security came and were like, you need to leave. And they're like, but they told us we could stay here. And they're like, get out. And apparently the security was really rude. So I'm guessing this was like a third party, kind of like with D23, that kind of like the Disney and Lucasfilm and everything like hired for this. So just saying, it's not just D23 that sometimes has these little hiccups. And so he had a fairly poor experience. But he said the event and all of the stuff at the event was really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just some of the execution stuff he
sure.
was kind of disappointed with.
Sure, sure, sure.
Well, as part of the remodel and reimagining of Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen, an iconic part of the building has been removed. The sign for the restaurant that featured a large saxophone, along with the name of the restaurant, was removed last week as the remodel nears completion.
Now, I know I shouldn't be surprised by this, nor should I be as saddened as I am by this, but I was just hoping. The concept art showed way back when they were showing this reimagined Ralph Brennan's area
sure
showed did not have the iconic saxophone sign. However, I had a little bit of hope since that sign hung on longer than I think it should have, because the facade work had been done for pretty close to done for quite a while. So I was thinking, you know, maybe they're going to keep this little piece of, you know, the former jazz kitchen, because it did. I thought it looked good. It didn't tie in as well to the original building as it did with the new, quote unquote, updated version that no one's a fan of, us included. But I was hoping, I had a little small hope that maybe they would leave the sign there, and they did not. I was very sad. I will say they do have, like, it's a living wall that's underneath where the sign was. So it's a wall that's got plants on it. So that looks like it's very beautiful. But that's really the only nice thing I have to say about the Jazz Kitchen remodel.
Yeah, I thought that it was very Disney in theming, right?
Oh, so good.
And it just did not turn out well. I will say I was just Googling for this image quickly, and I came across some concept art from the area of Downtown Disney that they're working on down there. And one of the things, because I watched Dave, our friend David over at Fresh Baked, he had a construction update video, and a lot of the cement work that they've done, that they've been doing around the monorail,
they're untheming is the untheming cement.
But I just realized, looking at this concept art, that this is exactly what it looks like now. So again, like you said, we shouldn't have been surprised, but for some reason, here we are.
It's still sad. It's still sad.
It is still sad. Well, look, even here, it looks like they're going to undo some. Anyway, let's get on to some more positive things. But there's still great food. As long as they don't change the food, I guess. It doesn't really matter, I guess, what it looks like, I suppose.
Well, Disney has announced an opening date for Rogers the Musical coming to the Hyperion Theater this summer. June 30th, mark your calendars, is the opening date for this limited time musical based on the Hawkeye Disney Plus series Rogers Musical. The show will be one act with a runtime of around 30 minutes. The show will perform Tuesday days through Saturdays, going dark Sundays and Mondays. In addition to the songs heard in the Hawkeye series, 5 new original songs will also be performed. I'm still not sold on this.
I was going to say, I was just going to let you get it all out.
No, I'm still not sold on this, but I am happy that something at least will be filling this beautiful theater again.
I am sad because I feel like we're on the precipice of so many things happening at the resort, and it's happening all after we go, because this is coming out, eventually a treehouse, you know, getting ready to kind of, you know, unveil itself. Although that looks like it might be further away because they don't have a lot of stuff set up yet. But yeah, so there's all of these different things happening, and we're just missing them. Although there's a lot of things that have happened since we were there.
Yep.
Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is going to be really exciting.
Magic happens. There's tons of fun.
Fireworks show, all the Disney 100 stuff. We report on it every week, so it doesn't feel new necessarily, but we're going to go and be like, oh yes, that's right. All of this stuff was happening.
It'll be new to us. It'll be the first time we get to see it with our own eyes, so I'm excited.
Well, guests to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge are in for a treat if they wanted to try an item from the sequel trilogy. Polystarch Puff Bread, the rehydrated bread that Rey had on Jakku in The Force Awakens, has come to the milk stand. For $5.99, this treat is overall sweet with hints of cinnamon.
It looks like what Rey had, like, visually from the top. It looks the same. However, it has like a croissant on the bottom, which her Rey's definitely did not have a croissant texture when they were showing it. It looked very dry and kind of, so it looks reminiscent to it. I don't believe that this is the same. Like, it doesn't feel like it's the same thing. Like, when I go, I know this is the wrong park. When I go to Universal and have a butter beer, I feel more like that is more true to what, I don't know. Does that make sense?
I know what you're saying. I'm just trying to think, like,
I'm sure the thing,
you're not saying that Disney is not saying that this is what that is.
Right.
You're saying this is their interpretation of it, but it's not faithfully recreated like it was in the movie.
I'm thinking that
they're not
going to
sell,
like,
crappy bread.
No, like a biscuit or something would be what it, like, kind of the more of the texture I was thinking.
Sure. I'm excited to try this.
Are you?
Yeah, because I love croissants.
It looks like a breakfast pastry.
And I thought this had like cheese or something on it is what it looked like originally. Sure. But I'm going to have one of these for sure. I showed this to James and I said, James, can you believe
this? I also was not thinking sweet for that when I first saw it in the movie.
Sure.
I was not thinking sweet either.
Yeah. Well, I would say the flavor of the blue milk is also not what I would have expected the milk like in the thing. So I don't know. I think it sounds kind of cool. I'm definitely going to try it when we're there. We're going to be there for Star Wars night anyway. So maybe I'll try it Star Wars night. Who knows?
That's what I'm having for breakfast on May 4th. I don't know about you.
Oh,
Well, collectors of the Starbucks-themed items have some new options available at the resort. The Disney Park Starbucks Coffee House collection includes a geometric tumbler with straw for $49.99, a porcelain tumbler for $27.99, a stainless steel bottle for $34.99, and a travel mug for $29.99. There is also a tote bag for $24.99 and a keychain with the same design for $14.99. So this design,
what is the design
is bright. I don't even know how to describe it. It's a like a hot pink that then morphs into like a purple.
With gold accents.
With gold accents. The castle, the Disneyland castle, is in white with like gold accents. It's loud and it's fun.
It reminds me, now that you, because I honestly didn't even register the pinkness. I'm such a purple fan that that's kind of what I honed in on. I did see that like it wasn't just purple, but I kind of was looking at it and I was like, this is kind of cool. But now that you mention that, it reminds me of like the 80s, like leggings that like people wear to work out, like that bright pink kind of color.
It is very bright. Yeah. Yes, it is very bright.
I'm not a fan of the geometric, any of the cups they've had. I feel like they're uncomfortable to hold.
Maybe it's like a hand massage. We'll have to, when we go to
I've
the park.
I've tried it before. That
you,
they're uncomfortable.
Oh, you didn't like it? Okay.
No, we were waiting in line for gingerbread cookies and I was playing with one. I do like the water bottle look, but I have a water bottle coming, so I'm not going to buy another water bottle. But what do you think? Would you get any of these?
I think they're fun. For me, the Starbucks lines are always a little overpriced, in my opinion, but I do think they're fun. I can see, especially if you're a person that loves pink.
Sure.
I could definitely see this being a good addition to your collection.
Well, more attraction-themed options are showing up around the parks. This time, it's for the Enchanted Tiki Room. A new Tiki Room dress is $128 at the Disney Dress Shop in Downtown Disney and at Elias & Company on Buena Vista Street. There's also a lounge fly purse for $75, a hat for $34.99, a button-up for $59.99, and matching shorts for $39.99.
We don't get matching shorts very often.
Did you show any of these to Vern, by the way? I know he's not a Jungle Cruise he's a Jungle Cruise and not a Tiki Room person.
You missed the most important item that has come for the Tiki Room collection.
Oh, the ears.
And that is the Enchanted Tiki Room mini ear headband for $34.99. Super cute. You've got Jose depicted on one of the ears. You've got just Tiki Room birds on the other ear. You have a green bow and in the middle, a Dole Whip. So it's so fun. The whole line is this kind of orange color, almost more, not quite burnt orange, but also not like vibrant, bright orange.
Right.
A tiki orange, if you will. Tiki orange with bright, colorful accents. Of course, the bright, colorful birds. But you've got like the birds of paradise flowers depicted here. It's just so fun. I was thinking Vern is become a big fan of the Disney button-ups. And I could see him being really excited about this button-up. The button-up on the front is not very obviously Disney or obviously Tiki Room. It's just kind of got this orange pattern. It does on the pocket in orange embroidery say Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room. But again, it's not like in your face.
No.
And it looks like there's a couple of the birds of paradise plants that are kind of poking up out of the pocket, but the back is gorgeous. It's got a string of birds.
Is it the four
across
birds?
It is. It's the four main host birds that
Miguel,
are across
Jose,
the back.
Fritz, Pierre. And Pierre.
Yep. So it's got them. They're all on the back. Super fun.
I was laughing at the shorts. I don't know why. The shorts have an embroidered Tiki Room bird on the bottom.
Looks like Jose.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Very fun. I'm very excited about this. About this.
I'm gonna have to ask Vern about this. I did see this hat, and I feel like Vern would wear this hat. Vern likes these like kind of brim hat things, but he's got that. He's got the ears, though. I think he's gonna wear that probably in the parks.
For Earth Month, Disneyland is emphasizing sustainability around the resort. Reusable cutlery is available at multiple locations listed at the link in the show notes, encouraging guests to reduce food waste by using the green can that goes to the food scraps program at Galactic Grill, Hungry Bear, or Pym Test Kitchen. Over at Paradise Garden Grill, they have a lot of plant-based options right now for the Food and Wine Festival, along with sustainable culinary demonstrations at the Hollywood Backlot stage.
I didn't even realize that there were so many things going on.
That's so cool. Cool.
To be more sustainable. And I know that you, for a long time, and we've talked about it a lot on the podcast, have been all about the plant-based yes. options. And honestly, I was skeptical they're at first, so but I've tried good. Yours and they're always so flavorful. I think when we go this next time, I might try to get some more plant-based options because they're very good.
They have been very good. Ooh, now you're making me think about brunch at Lamplight. We might have to try and get reservations just so I can have those flautas again. They're so good.
What donuts do they have right now?
You don't want to know because it's the Food and Wine Festival.
So it has the good ones, but by the time we're there, yeah, they have the cookies. See, I told you.
They have the cookies and cream one now. Did you notice? So they have had the bamboo cutlery in the parks before.
Yeah.
However, they have updated them. These ones have fun little Mickey silhouettes at the, on the handle. Yeah. And it's a different carrying pouch too.
So the only problem I had with the bamboo utensils is I thought that the knife and the fork, because they're wood, they have to be thicker.
Yeah.
I found that they were really thick.
Too thick?
Yeah. But maybe they fixed that with this version.
The cutlery will have a link in our show notes. Ken is available at multiple locations throughout both Disneyland and Disney California Adventure.
Yeah. Well, scaffolding has been coming down from the Adventureland treehouse at Disneyland, showing off the refurbished attractions details. There's still a lot of work to be done before it's ready to greet guests, like installing the water feature at the entrance. I'm so excited.
You know
about
what,
this.
Though? I'm just so excited. This poor treehouse has been closed for far too long. It was the treehouse was closed when we were there in July of 2021. Like, it's been closed.
Was it? Because it closed September. Oh, didn't it reopen for a short
closed,
time?
It reopened and then it closed it again. But yeah. It was closed when we were there. And we assumed it was not opening because of COVID precautions.
Sure.
Is what our assumption was. But then, yeah, you're right. It was closed, reopened, and then closed again. But I'm very excited about this. Mm-hmm. Very excited. It is interesting that it's taking as long as it is because it didn't feel like what Tarzan Treehouse had to what the new Adventureland treehouse needed as far as the rooms and all that.
Sure.
I didn't think that was going to take very long, but it seems like in some of the photos that Mice Chat has and videos that other folks have shared as well, it looks to me like there's new railings that have been installed.
Yep.
There's a lot of work that's happening to the structure, happening to the, you know, stuff that's not necessarily show, I will say. You know, it's not adding to the story necessarily, but it's very important. It looks like a ton of that work is going on. Still no opening date. However, it was exciting to see the scrims down so you could get a peek at the treehouse and see it coming to life.
Well, one of the things from one of these pictures, and like I said, I watched a video from David over at Fresh Baked, and the main trunk of the tree is at this point
naked.
Completely open. Yeah, you can see right into it. So I think what I suggested as a possibility was is that they had some structural issues that they had to fix. But I'm excited for this to come back. I know it doesn't seem like something we should be excited about, but I'm very excited for it.
It's a fun all ages adventure. And I'm just really excited to see all the different details that they have in here. Because I feel like it's going to have lots of layers to it. And there's going to be things that you could not spot the first time you visit that maybe you don't notice until your third or fourth visit to the treehouse.
It's also just a great place to look at the park from up above, an vantage point you don't get that often.
Very true.
Psst, avast there. It'd be too late to alter course, mateys. And there be trivia questions lurking in every cove, waiting to be answered. Listen close. And keep your ready Disney knowledge handy. That be the best way to answer correctly. And mark well me words, mateys. Dead men tell no tales. You come seeking questions and long-lost Disney information, eh? Sure, you come to the proper place. But keep a weather eye open, mates. And hold on tight with both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead, and James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
Hello and welcome to Trivia Land. Good to have you back, and good to be back on this side this week.
How did you do last week?
2 out of 5, almost 3.
Ooh.
And we liked one of our answers better than the real answer.
Oh, well. Are you going to be nice to us now that you know what it feels like to be on the other side?
Sure.
That doesn't sound very convincing.
No, that doesn't.
So I took a different route this week.
Okay.
I asked ChatGPT to come up with 5 Disneyland-related questions, ranging from easy to impossible.
For those, ChatGPT, the automated AI thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you not know what ChatGPT... Have you been under a rock?
Yes.
Wow, it's been like everywhere.
No, yeah.
Yeah, so we're seeing what the AI thinks is ranging levels of difficulty for Disneyland-based questions.
Now, because you don't know, so ChatGPT has been trained on just like a bunch of stuff on the internet up until I think it was like 2021 or 2022, something like that. And so they've been like improving it, but a couple of the things that are wrong with it is sometimes it sounds very confident in its answers and it's 100% wrong.
Mm.
And sometimes it's like, we'll just give you like the weirdest answers and stuff like that. And sometimes some versions of it, like Microsoft's version there for a while when people have tested it, it has been like, it says it has fallen in love with the person who's using it. And then it was got all weird. And then Microsoft was like, whoop, we need to pull that. So, yeah. So it's been odd. So maybe you and Vern have been right by saying please and thank you to your smart speaker, because our AI overlords are coming. Anyway, let's see how they've gotten us on trivia.
Yes. So your easy question. Question number one. What is the name of the iconic castle in Disneyland Park?
Wow. We've got the Sleeping Beauty Castle.
Are you sure? No, of course it's Sleeping Beauty Castle.
Does the AI know it though?
Oh, are we trying to guess what the AI thinks?
No, I'm giving you the right answer.
Oh, okay.
Our second question. We moved up to hard. Which attraction at Disneyland Park was originally designed and built for the 1964 New York World's Fair?
Well, there's a few
there's
of them.
There's a couple of them. I'm going to say It's a Small World.
Yeah, It's a Small World. There's Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. There's the
Carousel of Progress.
Carousel of Progress, but that's not there anymore.
The dioramas.
The diorama, the Grand Canyon and Primeval World.
So which one are we picking? One?
I am looking for one, but I will let you throw all of them out there and just show your extra Disney knowledge.
It's a Small World.
I'm thinking it's going to say It's a Small World.
Yeah.
Is what I think it's going to say.
Yeah.
All right. Number three, your challenging question. What was the original name of Disney California Adventure Park before it was renamed in 2010? I feel like if you could express the noise of blink, 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 blink.
Yes, yes.
That is kind of what's happening right now.
Well, because...
Wasn't that the name
it was,
the whole time?
It is Disney California Adventure Park, but it was Disney's California Adventure.
I was going to say, was it possessive? I feel like...
Okay. Yeah, it was Disney's California Adventure.
Got it.
And there might have been park on there, but I think that... Because I know Disneyland had to have park after it because Disneyland is the resort and the park.
Yeah, because it was two things then. Yeah, yep. I'm going to go with you. That was the only thing I think. I'm like, did it used to be like possessive?
Yeah, and I still struggle with that when I'm writing news stories of... So if I say Disneyland Resort when I mean the whole resort, or I just say Disneyland when I mean the park.
Yep. Yep.
Good question. Number four, our very challenging question.
Oh.
What is the name of the fabled, never built Disneyland attraction that would have been located between Fantasyland and Tomorrowland and was intended to be a walkthrough experience highlighting the world's cultures and customs?
Between Fantasyland and Tomorrowland?
Yes.
Fabled, huh?
Fabled, according to the AI.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Should we know this one? Was it accurate, James?
Yes, it actually was accurate. But this was also a time period where there's like dozens of ideas that were will happen at some point. So I did not know of this, but that's not always saying
this
much.
Doesn't even like sound slightly like, ooh, I've heard this.
Yeah.
Stumped. That's
well, I'm almost wondering because the first thing I thought of was like, was it like Edison Square? But that's not the world.
No.
That's just kind of a...
Well, and that was further down.
Yeah, that was in a main street off of Main Street. Yeah, stumped.
It's a tough one.
ChatGPT.
And now for your impossible question.
Oh, if that,
that one wasn't?
No, that was just very challenging. This one's impossible. What is the exact number of bricks used to build the Lego replica of Disneyland that is on display in the Lego store in downtown Disney?
The exact number of Legos.
They'd be very mad at you. It's the exact number of Lego.
Oh, Lego.
There is no plural to Lego, apparently.
You can say Lego bricks.
Lego bricks.
Oh, bricks.
Otherwise, it's just Lego.
That makes sense because Lego's the brand.
Yeah. So...
The exact number of, oh, I can't even like.
I don't even remember how big the model is.
I know.
I'm going to say from building a lot of Lego and knowing about how many pieces make up a thing.
I'm going to say 10,000.
I'm going to say 75,000.
Very good.
75,000? Dang.
Well, because like a 1,000 piece set is like, yeah, can fit in my hand.
Yeah, maybe.
So what do you think? How'd the AI do? A good range of questions? Living up to its name? Well, if you think you got the right answers and are ready to compete, we'll find out after our discussion topic this week.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we are completing our conversation with Teresa and Vern about their Disney cruise aboard the Magic. Mm-hmm. Enjoy.
Yeah, and then at dessert, I had a mixed berries with a cake. And they were delicious.
So the dessert menu, if you're wondering what that was, it was the...
You got the bounty fruit cobbler and the bananas in paradise, didn't you?
No, I didn't have bananas. I think I only ordered the berries and Betty just brought that.
That could be. Mm. She started doing that to us.
Just bringing stuff for you?
No, she seriously did. She started just kind of setting stuff down and being like, here, you'll eat this.
You'll enjoy this. Yeah, it was fun. And then on our final night, we were at Animator's Palette. For me, none of the appetizers sounded like I just wasn't feeling any appetizers. So I actually started with a soup and a salad. I had the baked potato and cheddar cheese soup. It was okay. It was nothing amazing, but it was still enjoyable. And then I had, at Betty's recommendation, the chicken and walnut salad. That was excellent. Mm-hmm. That was so, so delicious. It came with dried cranberries, red onions, and a cranberry dressing. Very, very yummy. For my main course, I went back to steak and had the ginger teriyaki dusted Angus beef tenderloin, which was served with wasabi mashed potatoes, bok choy, and a tamarind barbecue reduction.
I have to say, I'm looking at this menu, by the way.
It's so cute.
Your bread service was garlic and herb focaccia.
Yes,
I would have been there for that.
With a roasted garlic dip.
I know.
Day.
It would have been.
Goodness,
the bread service
so
every night was amazing. So for Pirates Night, it was Johnny Cakes, which were cornbread and like a mango dip that you dipped it in. Delicious. For Lumiere's, it was like French country breads.
Sure.
And it was like an olive and oil, like an olive, like minced olives.
Sure.
With oil spread. The first night at Rapunzel's, it was like a mustard, but it was like a whole seed mustard. So it didn't taste very mustardy. It almost tasted, it was more creamy than mustard tasting.
Sure.
And what were the breads? There was a pretzel. Delicious. But yeah, so that's what I got for, and then for dessert, I got this was so good. There was a warm, sticky date pudding served with butterscotch sauce and vanilla ice cream that I got, as well as the lemon icebox pie, which was lemon curd and berry creme.
Ooh.
It was so good. It was so, so good.
All right, Vern, what did you have at Animator's Palette? This was your last night, right?
Final night, yep. So for our last night, I started off with the smoked salmon tartare with dill, capers, onions, pickles, and a horseradish cream, which, just like every seafood thing I've had, was absolutely phenomenal. The smoked salmon was just that right amount of smokiness where you can taste it, but it's not overwhelming. And it was just melt-in-your-mouth goodness. Horseradish cream had just that right amount of horseradish where it's not overwhelmingly with the spice. It's just enough to kind of wake you up and say hello. Just everything was such a perfect balance of flavors. Absolutely.
Food alone is making you want
awesome.
To go to Disney Cruise, by the way.
Yeah,
thank you.
No, awesome. Absolutely awesome. And then I also tried the black truffle pasta pursettes because our table mates had had them before on a different cruise. And they said, you've got to try these. They're so terrible.
Well, and they're not terrible. So the thing that it's one of the things that if you hear other people talking about the cruises and about the menus, a lot of people recommend to, like, that's the, like, each place is like, this is the appetizer you need to try, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the appetizer lots and lots and lots of people recommend and really enjoy. So they went on their first, this was their second Disney cruise. When they went on their first Disney cruise, they were kind of like, oh, yeah, we have to try these black truffle pasta, whatever they're called.
Prosettes.
We have to try these black truffle prosettes. And they tried it and they're like, huh? You know, kind of like, this was, we've had, like, not that they're like terrible. I didn't try them.
Probably just compared to everything else.
But yeah, by comparison, there was a lot of things that were better. So yeah. They were kind of like, huh? We don't understand the hype. And in fact, like, what? No.
Sure.
So yeah. So Vern tried them and had the same.
So the description is black truffle pasta persettes. Pasta purses filled with truffle-scented cheese and coated with a delicate champagne sauce. That's the official description.
Yep.
What I tasted was cheap ravioli with a cheaper Alfredo sauce.
That's unfortunate.
It was the most underwhelming, nondescript, blah thing that I put in my mouth the whole trip. Personal opinion. Now, of course, that's just me. Maybe my palate wasn't picking up something that somebody else would pick up on. I'm not a world-acclaimed food critic or anything, but I had so much incredible food, and I read this description, and I was really excited, and I had read so many other descriptions of things that tasted like what they were described as, and then our table mates said, oh, yeah, you've got to try that. It's not what you're expecting. And I tried it, and our table mates didn't let me down. So that was my only complaint about food so far on the entire trip.
Yeah, I mean, overall, incredible.
Oh, yeah, if you had one dud, that'd be great.
Incredible, just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and I mean, it was still eatable. I finished my plate.
Right.
You know, it just was very underwhelming. So then for my soup, I had the baked potato and cheddar cheese soup with bacon bits and chives.
Can't go wrong.
It was very tasty. It was exactly what it said it would be. You know, baked potato and cheddar cheese soup. Can't go wrong there. And then for my main meal, I'm staying with my trend of being mostly pescatarian the whole week. I had the grilled tuna steak with fingerling confit, copanada, sun-dried tomato pesto, and aioli. It was as good, if not better, than every other fish dish that I had the entire time. In fact, I'm the guy that's got to take a picture of everything before he eats it because you got to remember these things.
Yeah.
I was most of the way done eating before I said, oh, God, I forgot to take a picture.
Yep, you forgot.
It was just, again, with the fish that was so perfectly done and such great balances of flavors. And Betty, our server, as I ordered it, she says, okay, I do recommend that you have that rare to medium rare. And I said, I trust you. Do what you do. And it came out perfectly in that rare to medium rare area. And it just, didn't disappoint. It melted in the mouth. Everything just, it was wonderful.
I have never had just a regular tuna steak. I think that this sounds good, though.
Oh, it was, absolutely delightful. Oh, and for dessert, I had the cookies and cream sundae, which was real cookies mashed into cookies and cream ice cream, topped off with whipped cream and more cookies crumbled.
That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely delightful.
You're speaking my
apparently
language.
Apparently, it was so delicious. By the time I turned and said, hey, can I get a bite? It was already gone.
Yeah.
Like, I asked for a bite. Like,
do you know what you could have done? You could have said, can we get another?
I know, but I did. Yeah, didn't want to. We were also, there was a farewell deck party, or not deck party, there was a farewell party in the atrium that was after our dinner, so I wanted to make sure that we got to that. Sure. Plus, I was so stuffed from the two desserts that I already had.
Now, before we leave Animator's Palette, was the experience of Animator's Palette as awesome as it seems like it is from how much hype they always put behind it?
So, you know what's interesting?
It was cooler.
You know
what's interesting?
Videos I've seen on YouTube do not do it justice. That's my take on it. Teresa, go ahead.
Yes and no. I think because
Vern thought it was great. You were kind of like, meh.
I don't think Vern knew what it was. Mm. I kind of knew what was going to happen. So the thing that I will say, it was fun. Sometimes I wish the animations drew them a little quicker. Because I was having fun all of us at the table were trying to guess. Like when they were in the first couple of lines, we were trying to guess what they were. Well, I took a picture because Madam Mim was one of them.
Oh.
I took a video because I wanted to get them sketching Madam Mim. You'll see how slowly some of these sketches were. So that would be my one complaint about the sketches. I wish they kind of went through them a little bit quicker. So yeah, because some of them, it felt like they were taking
forever,
a very long time. And then it was fun watching them add the color to it. And then the best part, spoiler alert ahead, if you don't want to know what happens at Animator's Palette, the best part is then when all of the paintings come to life, the whole restaurant just suddenly, and there's nothing that really kind of alerts you to let you know it's about to happen. It just kind of happens. If you've seen the show before, you know what the lead up to it is, of course. But for those of us that had never seen the show before, we didn't understand that, you know, that we were in the lead up. So lead up happens, the whole restaurant goes dark and all these different lights are going off. They have different, it starts with like happy stuff and then it goes to like villains. And so then it's all like reds and greens and purples and all the, they've got villains all over all the different, the animated screens. And then it goes to all the sad moments, like,
oh no,
like Ray dying. And like, I can't remember other ones that were just like, oh no, like you see one, you're like, oh, and then you see the next one, you're like, no, not that. It was just surrounded by all the sad moments. And then it went in back into the, like the happily ever after happy moments. And then it, when it was building up to that, all of a sudden, Fantasmic and Sorcerer Mickey comes out and he dances around to Fantasmic in there. We were having a blast.
Like Sorcerer Mickey comes out,
as the
actual Sorcerer Mickey.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like on the screen or something.
No, like a character. Like there's a character that's now walking through the dining room and he's dancing and he's doing his Sorcerer Mickey stuff. And the thing that, I mean, you know, you all know how much I love that song.
Yeah.
And so I was going along and we were dancing and we were doing the like pretending we were in there. Like Sorcerer Mickey in Fantasmic. And then I look back and our table friends are both doing the same thing. They're like going. It was just so much fun. So that was fun. We got to, we felt like we were part of the show since we were dancing the dance.
Yeah, that I'm gonna now have to go watch a video of this because I
well Vern took a video I think of me doing my ridiculous dancing, so if you can ask him to see that.
Okay.
And I took a video of Mickey coming out because then all of a sudden we just looked and we're like Mickey. It was so fun. But the one thing that I want to talk about was other dining. So for breakfast, you had two options. You could go to the buffet. The buffet was open, I want to say it was like 7 until like 10:30 or something.
That sounds about right.
And then it flipped to lunch at like noon. Lunch was only noon to 2 at Cabana's, which was the buffet. Or you could do table service breakfast. We did both. We did the buffet the first couple of days, and then we did the table service. Table service, by far, that's the way to go for breakfast, in my opinion.
Do they have good options?
Very good options. And it was just a much it was just calmer. Like it wasn't didn't feel as chaotic as the buffet felt. Each time we went to the buffet, there was always a line to get in because they have a hand washing station before you go in because they want you to wash your hands. Well, then the other thing too is everybody thinks that first line is the line. Well, the buffet area is massive. It's not kind of like a normal buffet where the line is the line is the line.
Sure.
You could go to a completely different sections, and the sections repeat multiple times on both sides. There's two sides. It kind of is this giant horseshoe. So like the first section for breakfast, for example, was like bacon, eggs, like kind of the basics. Well, then as soon as you got past the bacon and sausage, then the eggs showed up again. So like each section had two stations with the same stuff in it. So there was, it was much easier, but nobody kind of understood that. So everyone was trying to do the polite thing and just wait in line.
Sure.
Each day in the breakfast buffet area, they had a kind of like some sort of a different theme for the day. So one day the special area had like biscuits and gravy. The next day it had huevos rancheros. So kind of look out for that. Yeah. Otherwise, the rest of the buffet was the same thing every day. Huge selection, though. Huge, huge, huge selection. Otherwise, there was also, like I said, table service. Table service for us was at Lumiere's. Both places had Mickey waffles, if that's your thing, which that was my thing. But yeah, just similar menu, but it was just a much calmer experience for us in the dining room. And then lunches, there was the table service restaurant we tried. There was quick service areas. We tried most of the quick service areas except for one, which was called Daisy's Delights, which we kind of, it's kind of tucked in the back, so we kind of weren't aware of it. And we kind of regretted not. It had a lot of really delicious looking options. So forever on the magic again, we're going to check Daisy's Delights out. But we tried Pinocchio's Pizza. There was also a shawarma place. So we had shawarma one day. There was also like, it was like Donald's Grill that had like chicken fingers, fries, burgers, hot dogs, that sort of thing. We got chicken strips and fries from there. That was the only thing we got from them. The Pinocchio's Pizza.
I heard the chicken strips on like the cruise ships are a big thing at Disney.
So this was my experience. The chicken strips from the quick service thing, from that Donald's thing, not as good. We kept catching them when they weren't fresh. Like, sure, they were warm, yes, but they weren't fresh, fresh. Sure. When we went to the buffet, this was surprising to me. The best thing for lunch, other than the table service, obviously, sure, the buffet. The buffet was phenomenal. Mm. There were, this was crazy to me, crab legs and shrimp, mm-hmm, every single day on the buffet. Every single day. I thought that was maybe like just the first day or something. Oh, yeah. No, every single day. The chicken tenders that they had in there, amazing. Absolutely delicious. So those chicken tenders, yes.
Okay.
The quick service chicken tenders, not so much. Again, it may have been poor. We tried the chicken tenders twice. It could have just been poor timing, sure, both of those times. But for sure, the chicken tenders in the buffet, amazing. And then during the lunchtime in the buffet, that same section in the middle that switched out for breakfast also switched out for lunch. We did the lunch buffet only one day, and the theme for that day was like Indian food.
Sure.
So you could have like buttered chicken. There was, what else were there? There was samosa, the vegetable samosas were there. There was, I can't even remember, naan, all sorts of,
yeah,
delicious, yummy things. So vegetable biryani, I had that one, that too. But yeah, delicious things. There was salads, tons. Tons and tons and tons.
Well, I mean, that's what a good thing about a buffet is, right? You get lots of options, mm-hmm, and you can try things you wouldn't normally try, mm-hmm, because they're just kind of there as a buffet. Okay, so now, big question for both of you. You get to pick one thing. I know that you're terrible at this.
Oh, no.
Favorite part of the cruise?
Snacks.
Snacks?
Burns' favorite part was snacks.
What snacks did you have that were so good? Just in general, the food?
The constant availability of wide variety of flavors.
Sure.
Is my carefully worded answer there. That at any time I could be like, I'm in the mood for shawarma right now.
Yeah.
And go and get some shawarma. And just walk up and say, may I please have a chicken shawarma? Sure. What toppings do you want on it? I don't know. What do you suggest? Mm-hmm. Well, most people do this, this, and this. That sounds delightful. I trust you. Okay.
You're very trusting with food, Vern.
You know, For years I was a server and bartender, and when people looked at me and said, you're the one that does this for a living, I trust you, I took that to heart, and I did the best that I could to give them something that they would enjoy. And I now will look at people and say, you're the one that does this for a living, I trust you.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes if I'm in an establishment where I'm looking at the staff going, I don't know if you actually do this for a living.
Right.
Know? But especially on a Disney cruise, I'm going to be like, yeah, you do this for a living. I trust you.
Sure.
Make it good for me. But yeah, just the availability of just saying, I feel like having an ice cream cone. I feel like having some shawarma. I feel like having some chicken strips. It was fun. It was a delight to just...
And it's included, right? Like, there's, mm-hmm, something fun, yeah, about that, too, that you're like, I feel like this, and I don't have to think, oh, I need to spend an extra X amount of dollars on it. It's like, I just get to go have it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So that's my fun answer, is that I just loved all the food and eating my way through the ship. But a more serious answer, favorite part of the cruise, honestly, was the 24, well, not really 24 hours a day, but the constant opportunities for entertainment. Mm-hmm. If you get bored on a Disney cruise ship, you're trying.
Which you were worried about, right?
Mind you, I was going to say, mind you, this is coming from the person that thought he was going to be bored on the cruise ship.
I will own that. Yes, because I didn't know what I was getting into, and because I had preconceived notions about what a cruise is, and I had these visions of just lounging by the deck, reading a book and drinking, and that's not my style. And so I went into it not knowing what was going to be going on. The constant availability of, you could go to trivia, you could go to a show, you could watch a movie in the theater, you could do crafts, you could hear live music, you could do this, you could do that. There's constantly something going on that you can be entertained by. And if you're not entertained, you are actively trying not to, right, be entertained. That's my more thought out, very serious and sincere answer of favorite thing about the cruise is the constant variety of you can and will be entertained.
Sure. What about you, Teresa? You got plenty of time to think about this.
I know, but he was making good points. So,
is your answer, I concur, and then I can ask you the next question?
Yeah, I was going to, because my original thought was, yes, of course, the food, but also like the people. So that would be like the entertainment, the people we met, the friends we made, all the fun little interactions we had with people. Being a part of the fish extender and the pixie dusting was just a ton of fun to give. And then it was also really exciting to come back to our room and see the little fun gifts that we were given. And some of them you could tell, like, 100, it was the kids that did it. Sure. So that's even like super fun. But then that kind of wraps into all of the, you know, all of the people working on the ship. We did not have a negative or even meh experience with anybody on that ship, which is incredible. There was like 1,000 people working on the ship.
Yeah.
And the fact that we had stellar service from anybody that we bumped into was amazing. Yeah. Even at one point there was a DVC booth on the cruise ship, and I decided they had like a DVC seminar to kind of like talk about DVC, and they were enticing people to come by giving them a $50 room credit if you went and sat through the 45-minute thing. And so I was interested because I've always been curious about DVC. Sure. You know, does it, would it make sense for us? Would it not make sense for us? Well, and then they did free $50 room credit. Well, okay, fine.
Sure.
I can talk Disney for 45 minutes, no problem. That's cool with me. So I went to that, and even that was great because, right, even though it's, you know, a quote-unquote timeshare type thing, it was very relaxed, very fun. It was not, they weren't super pressuring anyone. They were there for, you know, for questions and to kind of help you through the process if you were interested. They were kind of, they talked more about it as, we understand that people aren't ready to, you know, jump into this. If you are, great, but we're really here to help answer your questions so you get to know.
Like, so you are a Disney Vacation Club member now?
No. No. I tell you, they were making me think about it because I'm like, oh wait, that's part of it too. I can use it for that. I'm like, oh no, don't make this sound better. So anyways, but even stuff that like in other experiences in like the outside world that are just uncomfortable and not fun, still fun, very comfortable, no issues. Same thing, all the character interactions that we had were great. All the entertainment staff that we had was great. The dining staff, our stateroom, the people were just great. And like I said, all the people that we met was fantastic.
I will tell you that in my experiences on cruise ships, they are mostly, because it's not always the case, but it almost feels like a utopia. Like, you have unlimited access to food and drink. You're taken care of by great staff. Your rooms are clean. You have this experience with other people on the cruise with you. Like, you sat with people, right?
Yeah.
And you always had something to talk about. You're complete strangers. But because you're kind of in this bubble, and there's only so much going on in that bubble, you know, you have something to talk about. Did you, when you first came on today, did you see that character or something like that? You know, it's easy to have those conversations with complete strangers where normally it's kind of like, you know, if you go to any Starbucks, you're not going to necessarily strike up a conversation with the random sitting next to you because the only thing you're sharing that you know of is that you're in the Starbucks right now. So that's one thing I like about cruises is everybody is really friendly and can talk to you, and the staff is great and all of that. And I'm sure Disney just dials
this
up.
But this was even a different level because everyone on that boat you knew was a Disney fan in some form or another. So not only did you have the shared experiences of what was going on with the boat, but you had the shared interest in Disney overall.
Yep.
So
we
were sitting and chatting with our dinner friends, and they were asking about, oh, you guys have been married for a year, you know, whatever. Anyways, it came up that we got married at Disney. And she's like, oh, that's amazing. We actually got married at Disney World in the France Pavilion or the Italian. I don't remember which pavilion.
Italian Pavilion at Epcot.
The Italy Pavilion. And so that we were talking. So then we have this other layer of shared stuff, but different, you know, different things. Same thing with our trivia people. Like, oh, you guys are big Disney. So we were going back and forth, and we sat there and talked after Star Wars trivia for quite a while about like Disneyland versus Disney World and why do you like Disneyland so much.
Sure.
And then somehow it came up, they're like, oh, where are you from? No joke, she was born and raised in Bryce Prairie, Wisconsin,
which is like right here,
which is this tiny little, like, not even a full town that is connected to Onalaska, which is the town that we live in. So like then we had that fun little small world.
That's interesting.
Like, crazy wild moment, but it was amazing.
Okay, so last question. Worst part of the cruise for you?
Worst part?
Yeah. If you had to find something. Now,
that
Vern is probably going to say.
Toilet that didn't flush.
Well, Vern probably is going to say something like that pasta he had or something.
Oh, yeah. So the thing I was actually the most worried about.
Sure.
Since we do not have children and this is a Disney cruise. is how, like, are there just going to be children running amok all over the place? Or how, what's this going to be? Amok. And honestly, there were quite a few times that I kind of forgot that there were children on that cruise ship with us, which is wild, because the kids' clubs, I had to start filtering my navigator app because I was looking at the daily activities and it would show you, it would just default all show you everything, stuff. Which also include the kids' stuff. They had animation. No. There was, what was it? Animation cell painting classes. I was like, excuse, what? I want to go paint animation cell, like super cool stuff. So I had to start filtering it because it was like,
go find Ricardo Patrick Stewart.
And
go.
Yeah. I was getting all excited about something. I'm like, wow, we can do it. The children can do that. I can't do that. So I had to start filtering things. So I didn't start getting excited just to disappoint myself.
Sure.
But I guess the one negative thing that I did encounter. So, yeah, I was pretty surprised overall that children, unless you were on the pool deck, of course, or, you know, during the parties, like, so Pirates Night, they had Pirates Night was one party, one deck party. So, of course, everybody's there. Same thing with the Sail a Wave party. Everybody's there. So lots of kids for that. But if you're trying to stay away from, if you want to stay away from that cast a little bit, just go up to the second level deck. The kids have like a kid zone on the first deck and like a little dance area. So most of the children are down in the dance zone.
I'm still waiting for your negative.
So my negative was they didn't do the best job of enforcing some of the the adult only areas was there's just kind of a sign there. So there was quite a few times that we'd be in the adult only areas and there'd be like one random child or a couple random children running around back there or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
So that was a little bit of a negative. But I mean, really, overall, considering how many children there were and that there wasn't an actual like gatekeeper keeping the children away and it was kind of more of an unwritten rule, it wasn't broken too terribly often, but it was just kind of a little like, this is our quiet space. But apparently when we were talking to our dinner friends, they also noticed, they're like, yeah, there was more children, like, they didn't experience that on their first cruise, so that may have just been a one-off with our cruise for some reason. But that was probably my only quote-unquote negative, but it didn't ruin anything for me. It just kind of made me take a step back.
If you had
to
pick something, this is the thing you're picking. Okay, Vern?
At the risk of being all gushy and, oh my God, they couldn't have done anything wrong, I genuinely, not much to complain about. I worked in the service industry for over a decade and a half, and I can be pretty nitpicky. I can say, oh, I would have done it this way, and I had managers that would have called me out for doing things that way, and you know, genuinely, they plussed everything. They just were always on top of all of it. It was an absolutely amazing experience. I mean, all the way down to the housekeeping staff, the very first night, our room attendant, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, I believe it was Imadi, he learned our names immediately. Where the very next morning it was, good morning, Vern. How are you today? You know, did you have a good run? I saw you up on the deck. And I'm like, what?
Like, spying on
you.
Yeah,
I'm like, you just met me last night in passing for 10 seconds, and I didn't even see you in the hallway when I left for my run. Where the heck were you?
We joked with him at one point because he seemed to always be working on, I finally said, Imadi, when do you get to sleep? Because he was just, seemed to always be working. He was a very hard worker.
Yeah. And I mean, just the level of service that we got in every single area was just absolutely stellar. At the risk of gushing and saying that they just couldn't have done anything wrong, I struggle to really think of, oh, they should have done this better. If I'm going to get really nitpicky and say that I have a complaint, character meet and greets. Anybody that's been to Disney Parks knows you got to queue up for your character meet and greet. You got to know where the character is going to be, and you got to sit and wait for that queue to even start to happen if you're going to get in that queue. But because it was only the 4-day event or the 4-night event, and the characters were only going to be out X number of times, and you could look ahead in the trip planner app and know when these characters were going to be out, you had to be there. Like, when that character was going to be there, you knew, okay, this is like my last time I'm going to see this character. And so, especially for us, this being our first cruise, this was like our time. We really wanted to get some of these meet and greets done and get our pictures taken with the characters. And I just feel that had there been more meet and greets, it may have decreased the length of the queues and allowed people more opportunity to get in other activities instead of sitting in queues, or be able to, you know, spend less time in queue. Or I feel that there wasn't enough time that the characters were out. If I'm really going to find something to complain about, it was hard to meet the characters.
All right, hear it from Vern. Virtual queue for the characters.
Yep.
Everybody's got to be at 7 a.m. on their cruise ship. Mickey Mouse! Oh, I got boarding group 6.
Yeah, no, if I'm going to find something to complain about, I did not enjoy standing in queue for the characters, because it seemed like I spent too much time on that I could have spent on other things. And had there been more opportunities for characters, I could have spent my time in other ways.
Sure. Yeah, but to be fair, we planned it so that we would go meet characters in the times that we didn't have other things going on the ship that we were interested in.
Sure.
So we filled our quote unquote downtime with character meetings.
Sure. So the big question too, are you going to go on another Disney cruise?
Drum roll. We did book a placeholder.
Oh my goodness.
For our next Disney cruise. In my defense, I didn't even bring this up to Vern. I did not tell him that I knew this was a thing, that if you're on the Disney cruise, you can book placeholders that you get, I think it's 10% off your next cruise as long as you take it within 2 years. If you don't take it within 2 years, you actually can get your
money back,
your deposit back.
Sure.
I didn't even bring this up to him. We were in one of the elevators and he looked over and he saw the little advertisement for it. And he suggested we do it. Yes.
Is this true, Vern?
I said, I'm not ready to book it right now. I need some time to at least unpack and do my laundry from this one. But sometime, give it a year or more, yeah, it would be really fun to do this again.
So, no, but you said let's book the placeholder, but we're not booking like the actual itinerary cruise.
No, I said let's look into it, make sure that refunds are available, and let's make sure this is a sound financial decision, that we're not going to potentially lose money. But if this is a sound financial decision, then yeah, let's throw down the placeholder. And the placeholder is refundable. You get your 10% off if you do book it. I mean, there is no downside to putting the placeholder on. And it's all upside, so yeah, we got the placeholder down, and sometime in the next 24 months, we're going to book another cruise, and
wow.
There was another thing, too, so photos on the ship. They do have a photo pass kind of thing, but it shutters photography. And so before the cruise, you can book and give yourself a placeholder, or you can reserve, that's what it is. You can reserve one of the unlimited photo packages.
Oh, sure.
And it's at a discounted rate. However, if you're like me, and you're like, well, I don't know if I want that or if I need that or not, because it was like $194 to reserve ahead of time. On the ship, though, it's like $30, $40 more for the unlimited downloads. So I reserved it ahead of time because I learned, and this was true for us when we went on the cruise ship, as long as you don't download any of the photos, you can cancel and get a refund for that before you leave the ship. So on the final day, because honestly the first day we kind of forgot about photos.
Sure.
We weren't doing any of that. We were doing a lot of stuff.
So did you buy the photo package?
We bought the photo package. We, in grand total, when I went to cancel it on the final day, he's like, oh yeah. I said, yeah, we just didn't really use it. And he's like, oh yeah, I see you only have 26 photos in here. So we truly didn't really utilize it. And when we met, like, the big thing was meeting characters. The photographer won't take your phone and take a photo for you, but the friend of the character will. The
just like in the Disney parks. Like
So they did take photos. We kind of looked through and went back and forth because there were a couple of photos that Shutter's capture that were better than the ones that we had gotten, and some that we weren't even able to
get. Can you
not
buy individual photos?
You can't buy individual photos. You could buy like ten photos.
Oh, sure.
But the 10 photos tag was $149.
So you might as well buy the whole package.
So I'm like, it didn't seem like a good value. Sure. Now, there were other people that I think took photos at every opportunity and with your kids
had
and all this stuff.
Probably hundreds of photos.
Hundreds of photos. Okay, that makes sense. Sure. It did not make sense for us, but we were able to refund it.
That's nice.
No problem, and got that credit back to our account. So that was a pretty big thing. Again, that I signed up for that only because I read the prime print and knew as long as you don't download, you can get a refund, a
That's
full
good
refund.
To know.
So
it's good,
to know for those of you that are planning to cruise and were like me and weren't sure if that was something you needed. But yeah, overall, amazing. We're looking forward to our next one. If anybody has questions about cruises, you can go ahead and email us feedback@dealweekly.net. I'd be happy to answer more specific questions because, I mean, we did a ton. We didn't even go over our shore excursion. We've run out of time.
So I'm so glad that you guys had a great time mm-hmm. on the cruise. I'm glad that Vern had such a positive experience because I know that we talked about this a little bit, you and I did before, that, you know, Vern had some concerns of getting bored, running, mm-hmm. you know, all mm-hmm. these things that mm-hmm. are really important to him. And I'm really glad to hear, Vern, that those things were not problems for you. And you couldn't even really think of anything negative about it. So that's the best of all the different worlds.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. And then yous can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DL Weekly.
Hello and welcome back to Trivia Land. Man, now that we've had all this cruise talk, I'm ready for one of my own. But I suppose we don't have to wait for the trivia answers like we did on the cruise ship for Teresa and Vern. I'll get right into it. Our first question was the easy question. What is the name of the iconic castle in Disneyland Park? You two confidently said Sleeping Beauty Castle. That is the correct answer.
Good job, Woo-hoo! Teresa.
Our second question, the hard question. Which attraction at Disneyland was originally designed and built for the 1964 New York's World Fair? You were ready with all of them, but your gut instinct was correct. It's a Small World was the answer the AI gave to me.
Woohoo! We're doing all right.
Yes. Number
Ask
three.
Ask this next one. I have zero confidence.
Yeah, right.
Number three. We're getting a little bit harder. What was the original name of Disney California Adventure Park before it was renamed in 2010? The answer is Disney's California Adventure. The park was renamed to remove the possessive apostrophe tag. Excellent job on that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I remember thinking it was just a dumb thing. I'm like, what does it matter? Because they were doing that for everything. Like, instead of Disney's Grand California, it was Disney Grand California. Yeah. And I'm like, what? It just doesn't roll off the tongue quite right.
Well, and then it makes me think, like, it gets to the point that it's like, wait a minute. Was that real? Or did people just always, you know what I mean?
Right.
Do we remember that?
Yeah. Did that
is
actually
it the
happen?
Banjo?
Or is it like the banjo or the not banjo on Pirates?
Right. This was the first error that I ran into with ChatGPT because it told me it was renamed in 2001, which obviously
that's when it
built.
Opened.
Yes. So not quite pulling the information correctly. Okay. All right, fourth question, very challenging. What was the name of the fabled never-built Disneyland attraction that would have been located between Fantasyland and Tomorrowland and was intended to be a walkthrough experience highlighting the world's cultures and customs? The correct answer was International Street. Hmm. It was conceptualized in the late 1950s but never built. Eventually, the idea got adapted to the sister park, Epcot's World Showcase.
Okay, now you say this, there's a tickle now. I feel like that sounds familiar. I did not know that was the location that it was supposed to have gone, though. That's interesting.
Yeah, I feel like they were throwing around a lot of ideas at where it could be and what it could have been. So,
Teresa's updated third edition of the Disneyland Encyclopedia, I flipped to International Street. However, they say it's off of Town Square, so location-wise, I think you're wrong. So it said, from 1956 to 1958, a sign on a tall wooden fence near the Opera House announced that a new International Street area was under construction. Behind the fence, visible to curious guests through small viewing holes, were photographs of what the street would look like when finished. According to the photos, International Street was to run parallel to the eastern row of buildings along Main Street, and it would be lined with architecture and shops inspired by a half dozen countries. What guests were seeing through the viewed holes was a scaled-down version of something called International Land, which had been intended for Disneyland's northeast corner between Tomorrowland. Oh, well, there we go.
Oh, there mm-hmm. it is.
Roughly triangular in shape, International Land, as depicted in the book Disneyland There, Then, Now, and Forever, would have been surrounded by water and connected to the rest of Disneyland by three bridges. Some kind of transportation system curled through the five-acre triangle, and several large buildings graced the interior. Although neither International Street nor International Land was built, similar concepts did find expression two decades later in Walt Disney World. At Disneyland, announcements for the upcoming International Street were replaced in 1958 by plans for Liberty Street, but those two would soon pass. Look at that. That was...
Learn something new every day.
Look at that.
Hey, that's my goal of trivia. Hope
so, see,
learn.
That was the tickle about the street thing, because I thought Main Street.
Yep.
Yeah.
You were very close on that one with your ideas. So, nice job, even though you got the point wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
And our last
ChatGPT.
Our last one, our impossible question. What is the exact number of bricks used to build a Lego replica of Disneyland that is on display in the Lego store in downtown Disney?
Now, before you give an answer, did you fact check this outside of ChatGPT?
Oh, I sure did.
Okay.
Because ChatGPT's answer is, this information is not publicly available and would likely require contacting the Lego company or the builders of the replica directly to obtain the answer.
So their answer was no answer?
The AI literally gave me an impossible question.
That's funny.
So we don't have an answer?
So there's no answer.
So we could be right.
Well, that's terrible.
I'm giving you free points because
it was
you're as close as
I love
am
that
right
the
now.
Impossible question was impossible.
I mean, see, you computers, see, people like to think that computers are smart. Computers are really dumb. They're going to do exactly what you tell them to.
Yep.
And in this case, that's exactly what it did.
Yep. I mean, it gave me a possibility of how to get it, but I don't know how I'm going to contact the people who built that replica and if they even have a clue of how many bricks they used to do that.
Somebody's got to know, right? Like, I feel like that's the stat that people just know. You should contact the Lego store in Anaheim.
I wonder if you contact the store.
Yeah.
When
we're there, we should ask.
We should try and remember when we're there to ask.
There you go.
Or if there's listeners out there who want to ask for us and... write us in, feedback@dlweekly.net, or let us know on social media. We would be more than happy to pass that information along to our listeners.
Yeah, you can see how close your, 75,000 piece guess was?
Mm-hmm.
And Teresa's 10,000?
Yes. Yes.
I don't remember how big it is my problem.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thanks for coming along with me on this journey through our AI-inspired questions. Who knows, maybe we'll use it again sometime for a spectacular later on. But I think the listener questions tend to be a little bit more fun and interesting. So send an email to producer Vern and I. It's trivia@dlweekly.net.
We will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
I'm Cyndi Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.